It's Tuesday, the 24th of September, and this is the Monocle Minute. Today, Air New Zealand bids farewell to its CEO, but what will be the impact of his departure? Also ahead.
Time and again, what he has said has gotten him into some hot water, but this is far more serious.
Has Donald Trump finally gone too far by asking Ukraine to provide dirt on Joe Biden ahead of the 2020 campaign? We also put a spotlight on San Francisco's streetcars and examine how Scandinavia's fight against climate change is impacting the region's flag carrier. I'm Carlotta Ribello in Los Angeles. The Monocle Minute starts now. Tomorrow, Air New Zealand will bid farewell to its CEO, Christopher Luxon, as he steps down from the high-flying Kiwi flag carrier. Luxon's next move will be closely followed, and he has hinted at perhaps going into politics with the opposition National Party. Grant Bradley is an aviation writer for the New Zealand Herald, and he's on the line from Auckland. Grant, what do we know about Luxon's departure?
Christopher Luxon has been at Air New Zealand for 8 years, and for the last 6.5 years he's been the chief executive. So in terms of a tenure at the company, it's about average. In terms of the length of it, around 7 years is what chief executives tend to do. He's decided to move on. He's leaving his options open about what he'll be doing next. There's speculation about him moving into a political career here in New Zealand, but he's also reserving the right to pursue another corporate job, perhaps overseas, or work in the non-profit sector. He has had quite a stellar commercial track record at Air New Zealand. He came into the business when it was heading up, it was going in the right direction, but he's been able to put the foot down in terms of growth, and the airline under his tenure has grown by about 40%. Along the way, it's achieved some quite spectacular profit growth, and he's also paid attention to the essentials in an airline, and that's the service, the relationship with the customer, because he's fully aware that without that, you're just like any other airline. And Air New Zealand, being slightly different, has to make a bit of a big noise. I guess out of 200 airlines, it ranks around about number 98. So for an airline down the bottom of the world, southwest corner of the Pacific, it does have to really shout about itself, and he's continued that tradition.
Luxon's next move will be closely followed, especially since he might be going into politics. If that's the case, what can we expect from him then, if that's the step he ends up taking?
I asked him about that, whether he'd be willing to start at the bottom as what you call a backbench opposition MP, which is a fairly thankless job here in New Zealand. You're nowhere near the levers of power, uncertain when your party might ascend to power. But he's quite keen to go out and do the door knocking, do the hard yards. But if he does go into politics, he's a guy who would have the eye on the big jobs. And he's starting to pop up in preferred prime minister polls, very low ratings at the moment. He hasn't even decided whether he's going to go into politics. But if he does, he'd certainly be someone to watch.
Grant Bradley from the New Zealand Herald, thank you. Even by his standards, Donald Trump's reported actions in recent exchanges with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky are remarkable. The charge that the United States president threatened to withhold U.S. military assistance unless Ukraine dishes the dirt on former Vice President Joe Biden ahead of next year's election. The longer the White House lets the story rumble on, the worse it looks. Amy Pope is an associate fellow at the U.S. and Americas program at Chatham House and a former deputy security advisor to Barack Obama, and she joins us with more.
I think it's fair to say that we have the gist, but we certainly don't have the information on exactly what was said. And the reason why that is so interesting is that there are transcripts of the phone calls. It is standard practice when a president reaches out to a foreign leader. There are people who listen in, the phone call is recorded, and it is transcribed. So there does not need to be this game playing around what was said, what was offered, what was promised, if they just release the transcripts. Time and again, what he has said has gotten him into some hot water. But this is far more serious. And there are a couple of angles on which this is problematic. First, he is the president of the United States. He is acting on behalf of the American people. Indeed, he was offering foreign aid that is taxpayer funded, that is approved by Congress to go for this purpose. So he's not acting on his own. This is not part of his campaign. This is not like the Hillary Clinton incident where he sought Russian intrusions into her emails, for example, where he was the candidate. He is now acting as the head of state. And so that is a problem for a couple of reasons. One, he is overstepping on just the campaign issues. As the head of state on taxpayer money, he should not be using that leverage as a way to advance his own political interests. That is against the law. Two, in terms of protecting the national security of the United States, Ukraine is an important strategic player. We know that Russia has focused on Ukraine in the past. Obviously, it was the subject of U.S. sanctions. Protecting the Ukrainian government, ensuring that they're able to stand up to the Russians, is a key foreign policy objective of the United States. And the president is playing politics with that. There are safeguards, and there are, well, I should say there were safeguards. They don't seem to exist anymore. All of this information is disclosed. It's overseen by appropriate officials. There is quite a lot of scrutiny that has happened, which you are not seeing now. Obviously, President Trump's sons continue to manage his business. There are ongoing questions about whether foreign nationals are staying at his businesses as a way to elicit favor with the president. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So there were very firm safeguards in place in the past that are no longer there, which is what makes this whole thing so ironic, is that President Trump actually has more to worry about when you look at the business dealings of his family members and various heads of state.
Think of San Francisco and you'll think of the Golden Gate Bridge, Silicon Valley's tech bros, ridiculously steep hills, and most likely trams. But is the city's attempt to keep the world's last manually operated cable car system running doing more damage than good? Here's Nick Moniz.
San Francisco's Municipal Transportation Agency has long used older trams from Milan or Melbourne to ply the routes on its iconic F Market and Wharves streetcar service. This nostalgia trip, however, may be reaching the end of the line. A shortage of drivers and the complexity of piloting these older vehicles means that the job is less popular than ever, and just one in three trainee operators graduate to become tram drivers. Although questions around the line's future are blurred, San Francisco would do well to invest more in the driver training program. In the meantime, buses, for which driver graduation rates are understandably higher, could supplement the service, which has 20,000 daily riders, keeping commuters and residents moving.
And now for a view from Monocle's editorial floor. Scandinavia is a world leader in the fight against climate change, which is having an adverse effect on the region's flag carrier SAS. Monocle's business editor, Venetia Rainey, has more.
It's not an easy time to be in the travel industry. Just ask British tour operator Thomas Cook, which went bust this week. But it's especially tricky if you're an airline based in Northern Europe. Here, the concept Flygskam, Swedish for flying shame, is taking off amid a growing public backlash against the environmental impact of aviation. Scandinavian Airlines has reacted by investing in its image and in new planes, firm in its belief that it can be an enabler of democracy and freedom, not just a polluter.
We should never forget the true value of aviation.
CEO and President Rickard Gustafsson told Monocle 24's The Globalist.
An open society, it's dependent on that people can meet and be inspired by each other. I think the democracies that and the free countries that some of us, at least on this planet, live in, I think it's also part to the openness and the connectivity. I think the wealth and the success of many corporates has also come through aviation.
The Scandinavian flag carrier just unveiled a new livery which it says signals a shift in a new, more sustainable direction. The subtle rebrand will debut with the airline's first new long-haul A350, alongside dozens of new A320neos that are joining the fleet. SAS says the new craft will cut fuel consumption by 18%, be quieter, and offer better comfort for customers. And it's this, rather than a splash of blue on the tail fin, that will help the airline industry in the dogfight it's facing. For Monocle 24, I'm Venetia Rainey.
That's all in today's program. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, that's monocle.com. I'm Carlotta Ribello in Los Angeles. Ben Ryland will return with the Monocle Minute from London on Wednesday.